I'm excited today to be speaking with Lisa Harper, Bible teacher and author of A Perfect Mess, to talk about her latest book that addresses understanding who Jesus is and how that should impact our lives. Hi, Lisa. Great to be with you.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, with so many books that already touch on the life of Jesus in various ways, describe the unique insights you hope your readers will gain from the new book.
Well, I can explain one of the catalysts that prompted me to start studying and begin writing about who Jesus is from an angle which previously had seemed basically heretical to me. I was reading a book about Soren Kierkegaard. I love his stuff, and I was rereading his essay, The Offense, where Kierkegaard said something like, "Woe to the person who smoothly and flirtatiously preaches some soft, sweet something." And I couldn't help but think how so often as a Bible teacher, I'd prepackaged Jesus into something much less than who Scripture reveals him to be in an attempt to make the gospel more palatable and, frankly, myself more popular. My hope is that this book will serve as sort of a mini catalyst, prompting other people, people like me who had maybe reimaged God wrong, to reimagine Christianity as something much bigger than a sweet concept and help them see Jesus as infinitely more heroic and worthy of worship than some sad-eyed hippie guy in Birkenstocks.
What would you say is the most eye-opening truth that's impacted you personally while writing this book?
Great question. The most eye-opening truth, actually, I come out with a story in the very first page of this book about when I was a little girl and I had a huge crush on Stan Brock. Now, Stan Brock was this, he was never a real famous guy. He was Marlon Perkins' sidekick on the NBC series Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. But it didn't matter to me that Stan wasn't a household name or a guitar hero. I thought he was so cool. And my heart was his to lose after this episode where he wrestled a giant anaconda. And fate brought him to our small town in Central Florida during the height of the show's popularity and the height of my crush. And I can still remember this surge of happiness I felt when the local paper announced he was going to be the grand marshal of our annual Christmas parade. So I talked Mom into taking me to the parade early so I could get a front row seat on the curb, and the anticipation built in my little girl heart as I waited to see Stan Brock in person. And I can still remember, even though this was like 35 years ago, I can remember him galloping down First Avenue bareback on this big horse. He had on the same khaki outfit he always wore in the show, and to this day, I'm convinced that Stan winked at me when he rode past. And he was so utterly compelling that I found myself chasing after this guy in the parade for a few blocks. And I thought about that when I began this book and was thinking that until recently, the mental picture I had of Jesus wasn't at all Stan-like. Although my childhood hero had been this risk-taking tough guy, I had settled for safe when it came to a savior. So instead of a strong physique and an untamed persona, my mental Jesus was this skinny, mild-mannered guy like Clark Kent, only paler. And the emasculated redeemer of my imagination was mostly due to my own fear and insecurity. I was too afraid to see Jesus as an intimidating lion because I needed him to be only an approachable lamb. So I edited out the scary and the mysterious parts, and I squished Jesus into this mental box that was small enough for me to comfortably carry around. And it hasn't been really until the last couple of years that I finally realized my squashed caricature of Jesus wasn't big enough to calm my anxiety or heal my wounds or defeat the wickedness in our world. By me pretending Jesus was less than who he actually is, resulted in someone I really wasn't compelled to worship. And thankfully, as I've studied, and more than even studying for this book, as I've just allowed the Holy Spirit to peel back some of the junk in my heart, I have discovered that the whole Jesus, as best I can understand him, revealed in Scripture, especially in the Gospels, including the scary, mysterious, and controversial parts about Jesus, he is so much bigger and better than I had even hoped he was. So it's been an amazingly Oh, just a galvanizing process to see Jesus as bigger.
Now, in addition to your writing career, you have opportunity to spend time with literally thousands of women around the country, with women of faith and your other speaking opportunities. But what have you observed in the women you speak to that suggest they're perhaps even hungry for a book like this?
Yeah. I see it all the time. I was actually at a big event called Women of Faith this weekend in Tampa, Florida, with about 10,000 women. And this woman came up to me at the end of the event, and I had actually taught on some material that's basically in this new book, and taught on how Jesus is so much bigger and so much better and really so much merciful than we imagine him to be. And she came up and waited in line to talk to me, and she was just this beautiful, very seemingly put together woman. And the gist of what she said was, I have never felt like I was good enough to be loved by God. She said, you know, I've made so many mistakes. And she said, I look the part, but I feel like my heart is just really too crooked for God to love me. And we talked about how that's the whole point of the gospel, and how Jesus just constantly through his life showed this very, what humans would think of as a reckless affection. He just absolutely adored broken people. And, you know, by the time we had finished talking, I mean, she walked away with just the most peaceful expression on her face, which is a treat, because I meet thousands of women, really every month. I'm on the road about 150 days a year, who wear big smiles and matching outfits to church in this desperate attempt to cover up the messy chapters in their life stories. And those women, this woman, frankly, myself, we tend to be bound by fear and shame and just the layers of living in a world that's broken by sin. And we don't need a milquetoast Messiah. We need a wildly redemptive, recklessly affectionate and compassionate Savior. And that is who Jesus reveals himself to be. If we look between the lines of the Gospels, that's who Jesus is. He is not a polite, wimpy Savior. He is both an approachable lamb and an absolutely wild lion. He's worthy of worship, but he's also worthy of approaching.
So in what ways is this book different from your previous works?
I think it's more honest. I think it's deeper as a result of some of the painful places God has taken me through on my own journey of healing. And I know it's more honest because God has burned up some of the people-pleasing junk I used to hide behind, and I've still got the scars to prove that he burned it out. A dear friend told me recently that she sensed something different in me, and she went on to describe the difference she saw in me as a wild freedom. And I was so blessed by that, because I feel like that's exactly what God has done in me in the last year or so. You know, I used to read in John 8 where it says, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And I memorized the verse. I think I may have even cross-stitched the verse. But I've never really lived in light of the absolute freedom Jesus promises us. I've been too covered up by performance and fear and shame. And this is definitely the first book I've ever written as a free indeed girl. So I hope that really comes through the pages of this book.
So then what do you hope a reader of this book will say to get other women to read it too?
Well, I hope some readers will say, I'd forgotten how powerful and compelling and loving Jesus is. This book helped me fall in love with him all over again. But I also hope a few readers who maybe have never experienced the reckless affection of our Redeemer, I hope they'll say, I never knew Jesus was that tough or that tender, and I am absolutely overwhelmed. A God like that loves me.
Lisa Harper, it's always wonderful to be with you. Thanks again for your time.
You are